So I'm delighted to welcome a colleague, Mrs. Natalie Stanley, who leads our history department, and who I'm very intrigued to learn more about her overseas experience in education. So do tell me, Mrs. Stanley, talk to me about what you learned about American education, or is there an American view of education?
Well, it's very much a non-standardized testing system, whereby it's all based on, well, the school I worked at anyway is based on experiential learning. So the school I worked at, which was the Athenian School at in Danville in California, which is just outside Berkeley, they relied on the Kurt Hahn principles of the seven pillars.
That's the guy who set up Gordonston?
Correct, yes. Mm-hmm. And he basically said teenagers were fundamentally good people and that life corrupted them, and he wanted to kind of foster their inner core, their inner goodness, and teach them through these various experiences, one of which would be kind of environmental custodianship, and hence their relationship with the environment was integral to their learning. And also outdoor learning, of course, was a big part of that. Fostering independence. So the school I was at, the Athenian School, they had a system called the Athenian Wilderness Experience, where they would take them to Death Valley for 3 weeks.
Oh my God.
And they had to learn to survive.
Would it just be the students, or would the teachers be there?
No, there were some teachers there, but the expectation was that they had to show leadership, they had to show collaboration, they had to work together.
This is all sounding very reminiscent of the IB mission statement, isn't it?
It is. So Kurt Hahn, who set up the Round Square system, this was his idea, and the IB now have secularised it, but have kind of used that as the core of their principles.
So really, when we look at our sixth form, perhaps we should be taking them and dumping them somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Yes, I think you'd do them good.
See if they can find their way back.
But CAS is a part of that, because that's the...
What does that stand for again? Creativity Action Service?
Community Action Service. The seven pillars, one of them is community service. So the expectation is that they have to go out on their own. They design it themselves, they arrange it themselves, and they go and give their time to a project. And so the famous one is one of the soup kitchens that are in San Francisco, because they've got a terrible homeless problem. Mm. And so they go there and they offer their time at weekends, and then they write it up in the same way that CAS works here for the IB. So the principles are almost... The system is identical in a sense.
It's just that one is secular and one is religious?
Well, theirs is secular as well. I think Kurt Hahn stopped, because he realised that once it was out of the 30s into the 40s, and Dyke Brown actually set up the Athenian School, and he was the one that wanted to make it secular.
So how long were you in the States for?
We lived there for 4 years.
And then you came back to the UK?
Yes.
So... you're not from Cambridge, are you?
No, I'm a Manchester girl. Everyone says my accent goes before me.
And the educational experience you had there, what is it that, you know, put you on the road to being a history teacher?
Well, I think first of all, it was the subject. My education was nowhere near as kind of enriching as I think students have here today. It was very, the expectations were non-existent. You went to school, you left school. If you got some qualifications, good for you, but there was no sense of pushing you. And then I decided that I wanted to learn more of history. I'd had a few history lessons that I really enjoyed.
So I took that. A good teacher?
Well, I did and I didn't. I had Mr. Pratt, who was my history teacher. So was he a good teacher? Yes, he was. He was okay, but he wasn't inspirational. So I just found my way through history myself, and got into university, having done my A-levels, and just kind of got so involved in the learning of history that was the direction I wanted to kind of pursue. But as far as being a teacher was concerned, that was never something that I'd thought of, but I ended up being a teacher, and then I just found my vocation.
Okay, and so did you become a teacher? You did a PGCE and straight after leaving university?
Yeah. No, for a few years I didn't. I worked, which was really valuable for me, because I don't think I'd have done well if I'd have gone to university when I was 18. So a couple of years...
Oh, you went to university later?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I via HR.
Oh, gosh!
So I had I worked in business.
Goodness.
And learned a lot, actually.
You learn a lot about people.
You do, yeah.
Of course, history's about people.
It is.
And I would be interested in your perspective on the importance of history for students today, because we do live in really interesting times, as Confucius would say. Why is history such an important subject in your view?
I think history is a very good teacher. And I think that that's something that students can learn from. I often kind of find solace in history, that when it's all about everything going wrong. And I think students could learn that it's okay to make mistakes sometimes and move on from them. But also I think history is so important for helping them work out what's going on today. It kind of is a translator for understanding the modern world.
I couldn't agree more, actually. And it's, I think we both would agree, I think, that the content-heavy nature of examinations now sometimes can make it more challenging to have those more thinking conversations and discussions with students that we would like to have, although I know that you will have them. Mm. So what's your favourite period of history? Because historians always say, I speak as one, that it's not my period. So
no, I always think that all of it is so fascinating. You can become engaged with whatever period you're studying. You could look at the 19th century Industrial Revolution and you can draw the links to kind of 20th century Russia and things going wrong, which I do often with the sixth form Russian historians. I think you could go to the medieval period and equally that's just as stimulating. So if I used to, my whole career was modern based.
Modern being?
Germany, 20th century.
20th century.
And now I'm doing the early modern, and I have to say I love it, because apart from, I've been through this for a few years now, but I think that the parallels are remarkably obvious. You know, the secret police in the Elizabethan period, Walsingham, and then you compare that to the Third Reich in Germany. Mm. When students say early modern is really difficult, I say actually it is the same.
Mm. People are people.
People are people.
So my final question for you is, it's almost the opposite of you being a historian. It's looking to the future. In 50 years' time, when people look at, back at the times we're living in, what conclusions do you think they will draw?
That's a hard one. I think that they'll probably look back and say that we're on the cusp of a transition. Mm. We're on a turning point. And it's one of, as the trend of world history continues, I think it's a kind of punctuation period whereby whatever is to come will be fundamentally different to what had gone before. So I think where we talk about change and continuity, I think this is a period of change.
I would absolutely agree with that. And hopefully it will be a positive change.
Yes.
But Natalie Stanley, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and your insights into your experience of American education. Thank you.
Thank you.